Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now on to Episode 169.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Well, this episode is brought to you by ShopPad, one of the most respected Shopify partners building apps and solutions for over 400,000 merchants around the world. And their flagship product is called Mesa. Now, Mesa is an automation platform and the easiest way to integrate any e-commerce app with your online store. And it's the only automation platform designed exclusively for Shopify and Shopify Plus powered brands. Now, Mesa allows you to create workflows that automatically carry out repetitive tasks, freeing up valuable time to focus on scaling your business operations. Now, they have a no-code workflow builder that allows anyone to create automation through a simple point-and-click interface. You can set up email notifications, schedule tasks, delay workflows, all with the simplicity of Mesa's built-in features. Now, if workflow automation is new to you, don't worry. Mesa also has a free and growing library of templates that will get you set up quickly with the most popular tasks for any business on Shopify. Now, you can try Mesa for free at absolutely no cost. They have a 14-day free trial, so go check them out at getmesa.com. That's GetMesa.com. And their team of experts will support you on your journey of Shopify automation and improving efficiencies. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. If you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, you're definitely in the right place today. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. There's 170-some episodes right there. You can actually stream them directly from ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, I'm super excited. My guest is Diana Kim, and she's the senior product manager of a company called Braze. That's Braze.com. And they're a very comprehensive customer engagement platform. And what they do is they power relevant and memorable experiences between consumers and then the e-commerce brands that these consumers love. It's a great conversation. I believe it's very timely with a lot of retail opening up and a lot of hybrid kind of multi-channel experiences of traditional retail and pop-up, but then also an online experience. And it's so interesting how this solution kind of bridges that gap and just offers a much more, a more relevant and personalized experience. So I'm sure we'll dig in further with Diana. So welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thanks, Steve, for having me today. Very excited to dive in.
So I mentioned a little bit at the top of the show, but I'd love to hear it. Since you're a product manager and senior product manager, you kind of get the platform and understand kind of the problems it's solving, but we just would love to hear it in your own words about how you believe it's impacting a lot of Shopify and just other e-commerce CMSs out in the wild.
Yeah, no. So you hit the nail on the head. I mean, Braze is a customer engagement platform that powers relevant as well as personalized experiences between brands and consumers like you and me on an everyday basis. That's a lot of marketing lingo. How I describe it to my friends and family is that Braze is really the software that's working behind the scenes in your favorite applications as well as your favorite websites. So I like to give an example. So I'm going to use a current Braze customer as well as my former company that I used to work for called Ibotta. And so they are a cashback app for everyday purchases. And let's say that last week I added a bunch of wine as well as hard seltzer rebates, I mean it's summer, to my application. And they actually will send me on a weekly basis a little nudge, whether it's either push notification or email, to go out and make these purchases into the physical world. And so I take one of these reminders. I'm like, great, I'm going to go to Target. I'm going to go buy my wine and hard seltzer. And as soon as I'm walking in the store, Ibotta will actually remind me via push notification to purchase those products. So it's definitely a multi-channel, multi-day, definitely part of the user experience. And that's what Braze really thrives off of, is how to make a multi-channel experience more relevant and timely using actionable data. So I think this not only applies to all the e-commerce fans that are listening out today. I mean, we definitely support so many more industries like QSR, gaming, fintech, you name it. But yeah, definitely relevant to the e-commerce space as we're talking about it today.
Yeah, and I think the pandemic in general has just, you know, as the stats have been out, just there's so much commerce being bought online, upwards of 20% or maybe even higher, even 30% of total GMV or total goods and services are being bought online. I mean, I think numbers kind of start coming down a bit, you know, based on retail opening up. But a lot of people are really getting used to it and enjoy the benefits of shopping online. And I think that's one of the, I guess, the value props around your solution is that because people enjoy shopping online, there also means there's much more competition. And where there's more competition, it's like, well, how are you differentiating yourself? And having, as you mentioned, like these relevant and timely and kind of personalized experiences directed towards almost like a one-to-one sort of a relationship, I think it's a very, very compelling MVP to want to execute on.
Yeah, no, I mean, we all lived through the pandemic last year. It was rough. And it also changed so many different behaviors. I mean, even for myself, as well for many others that we know, it changed our purchase behaviors, right? I mean, I'm on the couch now on Amazon almost every day, just making sure I have the right products at my house. But this really, what we've noticed, especially in our landscape, is that this really kind of triggered a digital transformation period for a lot of brands. I mean, consumers weren't able to go into the brick and mortar locations. Some prefer not to anymore. So in order to make sure that they're not left out in the dust, they really need to build out what their digital presence is out in the market. And they did that through Shopify as well as onboarding. So with our Shopify integration, we actually enable store owners to grow their brand's online business even faster. And also, I think the crucial piece here is building those relationships with customers. I mean, to your point, when you mentioned there's so many more options now, there's a ton of options now. And I think it's ever growing now, especially as people are kind of building out their own e-commerce businesses on the side. So we really need to make sure that these brands are able to communicate with their users and faster. And they can do that through cross-channel experiences that are built within Braze.
So let's chat a bit about the founder's journey. I'm always, you know, fascinated why people build what they build. And I think it's a lot more than just, hey, I want to have a SaaS company and I want MRR. I'm looking for monthly recurring revenue. And the holy grail of SaaS is just, you know, the hands-off approach of just getting some technology kind of doing its thing. I mean, there is a component to that, obviously, but I think there is a lot more to the story around like why it's being built and then the impact they're making. So are you able to maybe share a little bit about the founders and why you believe they have the desire and the expertise to create this platform?
Bill, our CEO, and John, our CTO, they actually met while they're engineers at Bridgewater Associates. And I think it was like around 2011 on a whim, they just decided to participate in TechCrunch Disrupt Hackathon. Their project was a browser bookmarklet that let you create auctions around guilt sales, which I thought was really cool. And, you know, no surprise here for this dynamic duo, if you know them, they won the hackathon. And so, as is like with many winners from these hackathons, I mean, they get introduced to a lot of people, right? Right after they win. So Bill got introduced to one of the investors at Lightspeed Ventures. I hope I pronounced his name right. But then he introduced them to Mark Amesian, who actually had an idea for a check-in SDK for mobile applications. I think very similar to Foursquare way back then. But essentially, they kind of joined forces and that's where kind of Braze was born. And it was actually not even Braze back then. It was formerly known as AppBoy. But I think what I love about their story is that it didn't start as a customer engagement platform. I mean, it started out becoming a check-in service for mobile apps, which quickly pivoted into becoming a best-in-class mobile marketing platform. And then it pivoted even further throughout, I think, the most recent years to becoming a very robust multi-channel engagement platform that we know and love today. And I think that what I admire most, just kind of day in, day out working with John and Bill, is that they have so much passion, so much innovation, and They're really bold in kind of how they see the market. And what I actually think where their boldness comes from is just the pure empathy that they have for consumers. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, Steve, you and I are consumers, as is Bill and John, really at getting all these messages, getting all this content from brands. And for them, it's really around how do we humanize the experience, not make it so stale or like so robotic. I know that like with batch and blast emails, I know that that's something that turns me off as a consumer. I don't know about you. But I mean, especially with so many more choices out in market, and batch and blast just simply does not work anymore. It's becoming more kind of relevant that brands need to really cater and craft their messages carefully and also build that one-to-one relationship so they get to know the users rather than just kind of yelling at them, screaming at them, telling to purchase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It all comes down to, you know, the big topic that I bring up with the brands that I manage, just retention marketing is kind of the key. It's kind of the holy grail of a lot of things, just because of the competition that's out there and this CAC, this customer acquisition costs are so high. And the whole idea of your platform is that you're trying to improve the user experience, the cross-channel user experience, but also trying to motivate them to saying, listen, like we have what you need at the, you know, at the right place, at the right time, with the right offer. People are more apt to want to convert. And I think that's really compelling. So there's lots of competition out there, like at least from the e-commerce world, but let's talk about maybe from a SaaS company, from, you know, offering these sorts of services. There's lots, I don't say lots, but there's a couple mainstream players out there that I think that are, I guess, fighting in this kind of cross-channel marketing platform-y kind of thing, trying to, I'd say, almost unify the customer experience a bit and trying to just have better interactivity with their merchants and customers and trying to figure out how they can convert more and think about lifetime value. And so it would be great just to kind of understand a bit about what separates Braze maybe from other competitors, because it's pretty easy to do a Google search. It's easy to go into the Shopify app store and try to find some things that maybe you could duct tape together. But just curious, and kind of from your perspective, you know, being in product, kind of what is your, there's a whole list of them, but like what are some of the main reasons why your product is very unique to the market?
I will kind of speak to this from like a product lens as well as my even former marketer days, because I would evaluate brand, like companies like Braze for my company, like at Ibotta or like other apps or brands out there at my time at an agency. So as I was leading these kind of vettings for all of the customer engagement platforms, there's three things that I typically evaluate. First, it's around how easy is it to send data into the platform and action upon it, whether it's making audiences or segments to personalizing the actual messaging content. The second is how seamless is it to build that cross-channel experience? What channels does that customer engagement platform natively support? And the third thing that I evaluate is how easy is it to run experiments, understand what's going on in my campaign and those experiments, and then iterate off of those learnings. So from the data perspective, Braze really shines here. I mean, we've been recognized by Forrester as well as Gartner in the space how Braze has really extremely flexible data models to bring data in as well as bring data out at scale and at real time. So we offer native software development kits, SDKs for both your web as well as mobile apps, as well as turnkey APIs that allows customers to ensure that their first-party data can be actioned upon almost immediately within our platform. And this kind of flexibility is something that a lot of the legacy cloud players out there typically struggle with. And it unlocks a sort of personalization, I think, without scale, without unnecessary complexity, workarounds, headaches for the actual marketer trying to implement it. The second piece is kind of around the cross-channel experience. And I think this is where Braze really shines. I mean, I can say that my time as a marketer at Ibotta, I think that it was the most frustrating thing to send out a push notification in one system and my emails in another, because it never really was a cohesive experience. And this is kind of where Braze was built from day one, with this multi-channel mindset, which really is where our brands are thriving. I mean, with a lot of the legacy platforms out there, I'm not going to name the names, but you probably know them, but they probably have stitched together all these different channels because they probably started off with the more traditional channels at first, like email, right? So Braze is in a very unique position because, as I mentioned before, like Braze was a market leader in mobile-first marketing across channels like push and in-app message and content cards. But given the agility and flexibility of our system, we're actually able to support more robust sending pipelines for channels like email and SMS, and also integrations out into the social landscape or the paid landscape, like Facebook and our upcoming integration with Google. So that allows customers to have really hyper-targeted, cohesive, cross-channel experiences, which really amount to ROI. Because I think at the end of the day, this is great. You're building out a very personalized experience, but brass tacks, what does that amount to? I'm going to share a quick stat to support this. So we ran a global customer engagement research, and what we actually found was that where brands execute a cross-channel customer engagement strategy, they see a 94% higher customer lifetime value than those who don't. And I don't know about you, Steve, but 94% to me, I'm like, that is astronomical. Just to see, and especially in the day and age where acquisition costs and retention costs are so, so expensive. I mean, anything in terms of what you can do incrementally within your retention strategies helps that much more.
What about loyalty? It's more of a side topic, but you know, it sounds like you're doing a lot of things really well, understanding the customer and the customer journey and the channels they're on and trying with this one-on-one kind of relationship. And I love when you're saying, you know, the email and the SMS and the push and getting into the social side of, you know, and the paids and paid ads and things through Facebook and soon Google. I think all that's very interesting and very compelling. How do you see the platform iterating currently, or do you partner with others in the loyalty space? I think of some of the, you know, players out there, like in at least in the Shopify world, like Smile.io, or you think of a Loyalty Lion, or you think of Yotpo Loyalty and Rewards. I think Swell Rewards was acquired by them. So I'm curious about, you know, is there a loyalty component built into Braze, or is it more of a partnership arrangement with other enterprise tools that are out there?
Yeah, so we support both, actually. So what we have natively is a promo codes feature where customers can upload their CSVs of their actual promo codes relative to an individual user. So they can do it that way. Or again, our platform is so flexible that we actually have methods to integrate with those loyalty partners. And so let's say that you have an example of like, well, a customer is about to churn. I want them to send a promo code of like, come back 1234. And they have it within Yotpo or maybe another loyalty partner. We actually have a couple, Talon One, I believe Vouchify are the ones that we have direct integrations with. But they can actually use what is called our connected content feature. So connected content will make real-time requests, API requests into those specific partners to pull down the like the actual promo code or offer for an individual user as soon as the messages are sent. So there's a lot more flexibility into it. We have it native support. We also do have partnerships to help with the loyalty story. And this is also something that I, as a product manager, am continuously learning about, because especially as we go more towards e-com, support more Shopify kind of customers, that's going to be a priority for them. So my ears are wide open. If anyone has any comments or kind of feedback, definitely welcome.
For sure. I'll make sure we'll put some contact information at the end of the show on the show notes and stuff. So but loyalty definitely is top of mind for a lot of folks, just knowing the CAC and knowing that they have to maximize LTV. And that's the way to do it is through loyalty. Even solutions like Friend Buy, refer a friend programs and things like that are really compelling and really help a segment of the market, but a very interesting channel for growth. So let's get into maybe some case studies. It would be great if you could maybe talk about, because I think there seems to be a crossover happening right now with, obviously with retail opening, a lot of these retailers had to improve their digital experiences. Hence why Shopify really helped the market a lot. It was a necessary solution for a lot of traditional retailers, being able to get online quickly and the buy online and pick up in store and curbside pickups and lots of things that Shopify really made a significant pivot for. Now that retail is opening up, there still seems to be this great kind of union now where people want to have these great experiential kind of awesome retail kind of locations, with gift cards and like all these things, but they also want to work online at the same time. And you want to have one unified kind of platform for the customer record if you're buying online or buying in store and loyalty. And there's a lot of moving parts here. So I would love to hear a case study of a brand that's, I guess, a current Braze customer and just kind of how they're interacting with it and what got revealed out of this case study.
There are so many great success stories, but I'll just share one with the current e-commerce customer. And it's with our customer, Goat. So I'm not sure if you heard of Goat before, but it's a global platform for buying, selling kind of authentic sneakers, apparel. There's so many things on there. I mean, I think it's very trendy, geared towards millennials and Gen Z. And as a fellow older millennial, I feel like I need to shop there. But what they essentially did with our platform was that they created a cross-channel campaign using our user journey building tool called Canvas. And what they included in Canvas was to send a dynamic set of emails as well as push notifications over a 30-day window. And they sent these messages to users that were predicted to drive incremental value. So the users received an email with a unique promo code, as well as a personalized product recommendation that is dynamically pulled from our personalization feature called Connected Content. And they also leveraged A/B testing within our platform as well as uplift modeling to really drive, and now here's kind of the stats here, a 39% repeat purchase rate for these users and a 9% increase in gross merchandise value. I think it's already hard enough as a marketer or just as a brand today to get a customer to buy once. So seeing like a 39% increase is massive, all the while they increase their basket sizes for all these customers.
Now, what about subscription companies? Because I think it's a topic that's on a lot of brands that I have. I mean, I have one brand company that's in the sock market. And they're like, well, I think we want to do a subscription sock company because socks wear out. And or I have people that are in, they sell kitty litter and people that sell alcohol. There's so many different brands that I'm managing and they're all trying to figure out how to grow their LTV. And they do that through a subscription offering. So is there anything specific about the Braze platform that we can chat about maybe as it relates to subscription type businesses versus just using the platform and trying to re-engage with existing customers to get them to buy for a second time? Is it the same kind of methodology when it comes to a subscription type customer and understanding churn and all those sorts of things?
Yeah, I think that it's definitely a similar methodology and all supported by the Braze platform. I think what's interesting about the subscription model is that it's predictable, right? Like instead of a purchase where we're not sure when a user is going to make a purchase, subscriptions are either on a monthly basis or quarterly or annual basis, right? So we actually have kind of the built-in technology, whether it's through our user journey building tool Canvas or even API triggered campaigns to really trigger at what point before that subscription happens or maybe when they're about to churn if they haven't used the service in a while to start getting those insights to then action upon it and orchestrate like a win back campaign or maybe proactively saying, hey, like your subscription's coming up. Here's how you can get more value out of the product. So I think that there's definitely preventative measures for a lot of subscription business models out there, or also win-back models too, in the event that there is a likelihood to churn. And we actually have a feature for that to determine when, if and when a user is going to churn or not.
Are there any other features, I guess notable features, that the Braze platform offers that maybe be beneficial for those Shopify brands are listening today? Obviously, you know, predictive churn and predictive purchases is kind of an interesting thing. Anything else you can think of?
I mean, there's so many things I can call out. Predictive churn was definitely one of the things I want to call out because it's so hand in hand with our Shopify listeners today, right? Braze is able to get all of this great insight and your Shopify data into the platform. Let's use that to predict if people are going to leave or people are going to make a purchase or not. That's kind of the first piece there. The second piece, which is a little bit newer on the integrations front that I also wanted to highlight, is really around our integrations with the paid ecosystem. So specifically Facebook, we have launched in the past year and we will be coming up with our Google Ads integration within our user journey building tool Canvas. And I think just at large, if we think about it from the e-commerce perspective, discoverability just plays a huge role in how you find new customers or re-engage with existing customers. So with that in mind, we created an audience sync to Facebook and Google in our user journey building tool Canvas, which really allows customers to create multi-channel experiences on their own channels, like push and email, and extend that out into the paid advertising realm on Facebook and Google. And so for me, this is really exciting as a former growth marketer, because what this does is that it's forcing brands out there to break down the silos between paid as well as CRM. I mean, it's a single user experience, right? It's I'm the same user just going through the motions within your service. It should be a cohesive experience, whether I see an ad or whether I see an email.
No, I was just going to say, just to add to that, what's interesting is that there was an announcement that came out, and I'm sure you've heard this, that Shopify has just I guess, partnered up like they do with a lot of different companies, but both Facebook and Google, they partnered up with now as far as Shop Pay, which is our accelerated checkout through Shopify Payments. And Shop Pay is widely adopted. It's the fastest checkout available on any platform. And it's so interesting. They're now allowing you to buy from within their platforms with Shop Pay enabled customers. And so what a great opportunity right now where Braze is breaking into, well, certainly in the Facebook realm, soon to get into the Google realm of ads. And then Shopify customers will be able to use their Shop Pay account, their wallet, and check out literally within 15 seconds, right from within their platform. So it's pretty exciting.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely exciting. It's like closing the loop. And for me, I mean, I am a sucker for a good Instagram ad. I mean, right now I'm just looking at swimsuits at this point. It's summertime. And to be able to just one click buy, I mean, it's a little dangerous, but it definitely helps me as a consumer just get my purchase done because I don't want to think about it anymore.
It's funny. My wife mentioned that exact thing. She goes, you know, she can tell what a Shopify checkout looks like. And she's actually happy that they're a Shop Pay enabled website because, you know, you go to there, it instantly knows who you are instantly on desktop or mobile. And then having that 6-digit code that you enter in and boom, the transaction is done. I know the conversion lift and average order value is significantly improved for a brand to have Shopify payments enabled and then turning on the accelerated checkout. You know, not to mention there's like some other thing going off topic a bit. What's interesting though, is that even with Shop Pay installments that's out now with our connection with Affirm, so interesting having these four kind of micro payments every 2 weeks without any interest to the user. So all of a sudden your basket size increases because you have, you know, and this all happens in the background. Pretty compelling opportunity out there right now in mobile and then mobile payment options.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I was actually reading an article this morning about how Shopify is turning into a payment solution and Affirm and everything was in there. So like, this is totally very timely.
So let's talk about the existing tech stack, because I think that's one of the objections that I get from brands when I share this podcast episode or I kind of do an app audit, both public and private, and try to figure out overall, like, what are all these higher level strategies? They're always worried about trying new things because they're worried about, will it disrupt my current tech stack? It sounds like, you know, as you mentioned with, I guess, your mobile SDKs and kind of open APIs and all the different things you have, that, you know, that's not going to be a problem. But I just would love to hear from your side how it integrates with existing tech stack in the Shopify world.
When I think about Braze and as tech stack, how I think about it is that Braze is really at the center. And it really plays well with all the other technologies that you have in your stack because of how agile we are from a data perspective and how flexible we are with all the different features that we have to work with other platforms. At a very baseline, the Braze system really works as an integrated or interactive feedback loop where you can listen to customers, understand the customer behaviors, and then start acting upon it within your campaigns. So I think that kind of first in terms of the listening portion, in order to have automated, relevant, personalized messages that we've been talking about throughout this conversation, I think that we first need to have brands listen to their customers. I mean, what actions are they taking on their site or their application? Do we know anything about who they are, what their name is, what they like, what they don't like? I mean, all of that customer behavioral data should be sent to Braze for us to understand as well as then build campaigns for. And I think that from the listening side too, from the data side, I mean, yes, we have so many options natively. There are SDKs as well as our APIs available to customers, but we also have a very strong partner ecosystem. We have over 100 partners, whether it's tech row as well as solutions partners, to really help brands navigate through kind of the setup piece. So we have a lot of best-in-class integrations with customer data platforms that are becoming a hot commodity now, like Segment and then Particle, where they make it dead bang easy without an SDK to send data into the Braze platform. And so I guess once the data piece is complete, I mean, then it's on to understanding. And so all that data is in Braze now. Now what? And so we provide brands to really start understanding their customers by our rich segmentation tools, our predictive features tools that I mentioned before, as well as kind of building out kind of what that personalized experience is within our journey building tool Canvas. And I'm also going to mention our partners ecosystem again, because I think that you hit the nail on the head before. What about loyalty? What about all these other kind of enrichment technologies out there. And the great news is Braze supports them, whether it be through our integration methods like connected content, or, I mean, we have a great integration with Movable Ink for kind of recommended kind of products whenever someone views a push notification. There's so much flexibility within our platform here where if you are trying to integrate, there's more likely than not a way to integrate that platform. And the third piece, once we have all that data, once you enrich that data, whether it be through our platform or with the help of another platform, great. I mean, they can action upon these insights. And this is where Braze really shines. I mean, you can create a multi-channel canvas. So let's say that as a brand, an e-commerce brand with a mobile app, I want to send push notifications, emails, SMS, as well as in-browser messaging, just in the event that they're on the site at that moment. That can all be set up within one user journey experience with many channels happening at different points, and you can trigger specifically when a channel is served at the right time. Yeah, and I think that the last piece, I mean, listening, understanding, iterating, like acting upon all this information, it's really a loop. So as soon as the messages go out the door, marketers should be in a constant cycle of, okay, let's understand what's happening with their campaigns. Are they interacting with channel X versus channel Y? Are they even engaging in the content within those messages? So it's a nice way of kind of closing the loop and continuously iterating just to make sure that you're getting the right ROI on these campaigns.
What's interesting thing I'm thinking of now is about the whole conundrum between acquisition, which brands have to do to acquire net new visitors to their website and more conversions. But then there's also on the other side of that coin, we've kind of dabbled a bit and mentioned it about the retention side of a business. You know, you always say that it's the lifetime value and the cost to acquire a customer is cheaper to kind of get existing customers to make, you know, more purchases than it is to acquire new customers, especially, you know, getting out of the pandemic now. Just so many people now are buying online, but also so many competitors online because of that, the paid ad costs are going up. And so retention managers and customer experience managers, all these different types of titles now that are out there because retention seems to be an interesting focus. But I'm just curious from your perspective, how they should both work together. Is there any kind of best practices that you're seeing now about acquisition spend and a percentage of total kind of spend, and then maybe retention spend? Like, how are we maintaining and using technology to kind of maximize LTV?
Yeah, I feel like this is like the age-old question and something that I've definitely pondered about throughout the majority of my career. But I really think that like the whole acquisition versus retention, one, it's applicable to any industry right now. I mean, you're buying the same ads on the same platforms, right? And I think during my time at the agency, when I'm working with brands and when they're like launching like a brand new application or brand new service, I think that the easiest thing that they can go to is grow my business by buying ads and just do that. And I like would offer, well, we should probably focus on retention strategies in the event that they churn or churn quickly, especially within that 30-day window. And they're just very focused on spending money, getting new users in the door. And that's fine. So we would run those campaigns. And we would see usually anywhere around like a 10 to 30% conversion rate at best. And what we also noticed very quickly is that they would churn the remaining users that we acquired, or they didn't even make a purchase. And I felt like I was literally just burning money away because we didn't have those win back or onboarding campaigns from day one. And so with that, I think that throughout my career, I've learned that there just definitely needs to be a balance between acquisition and retention from day one. I mean, I think that acquisition's purpose, like, yes, it's to bring new users in the door, but you're really making a first impression on a customer. I mean, right. I love to think about the psychology of advertising and marketing. And what these brands are doing from the acquisition side is making a memorable first impression, whether it's funny or thought-provoking or even sarcastic. And I think once you got those users hooked, great. I mean, I think that they're also expecting a very similar experience and tone and just general vibe throughout their entire onboarding, as well as this experience within the application or your site. Now, I think that if you hook them and then you start batch and blasting away all these communications to make them drive to a purchase, they're probably going to get turned off. I know I will. But if you try to get to know your customers, build that personalized messaging with a similar tone and vibe as to what got them in the first place, I feel like it's a lot more less abrasive of an experience. And I mean, hey, if your customers also churn, if you have those retention strategies on day one, great. Like there's another point at which you can save that particular customer from actually going away. And I think also one last point here, you mentioned about just about like the ever-changing kind of role of a marketer. There's like experience managers or CRM managers. I think this is a really interesting point. And I honestly have had so many conversations, whether it with our customers today or like with my friends who are still in the marketing space. But there's, I think, a general paradigm shift as to how marketing teams are structured, because anecdotally, like they were structured by channel. So you would have like a social team, email team, etc. But I think what's happening now is that, again, it's a single user experience. And these teams are being structured around different parts of the user lifecycle. So onboarding experience teams, purchase experience teams is what I'm actually kind of observing throughout the market, which totally makes sense. I mean, it's not about the channel anymore or being an expert in a specific channel. I mean, I think that comes easy as a skill. It's really around how you can kind of consolidate all of these channels into a cohesive experience. And it's really pushing the marketer today not to just be focused on one channel, but many channels. So I think that's a little bit more challenging.
I'd also add too, we talk about, you know, having a story around the brand and trying to get people to be raving fans. And I think about the social or maybe the environmental impact of a brand saying, hey, you know, here's my brand story and here's where I fit in the market. Here's why I have eco-friendly, non-sweatshoppy, made in America, or whatever their angle is. I think that's another thing that I'm finding a lot of brands being very successful in, is it's more than not being just a commodity company selling another vitamin water or another supplement or another protein powder. There has to be a much larger story around. It's not just a great logo. Branding is another whole conversation for another topic on another podcast. But I think it's all part of the mix. So even if you have, you know, listening to the show today, if you have product market fit, you're starting to really see some growth here, but you really are trying to personalize it better and understand that there's this multi-channel world out there, both retail and online, in all the different channels, and trying to motivate your customers. I mean, part of this churn avoidance or trying to increase LTV, really think about maybe having your story being retold to them if they've forgotten it, as part of some kind of a sequence of events to kind of re-engage them in some sort, or thank them for being, like, you know, a valued VIP customer. There's so much opportunity out there, providing that you have kind of the building blocks set up for the brand. So if you don't, get a story, document the story, and get it up on your website so you have something you can leverage. So let's dig into the future for the Braze product. I'm always interested. You don't quite have the Shopify public app yet, but you do have Shopify customers. So it's interesting that you're on that journey of saying, hey, we're testing the platform, or there's many customers that are testing the Braze platform currently with the manual method. Interesting that's going to happen, I would assume, very soon, being a public app so that others can discover the platform. I'm just curious about a North Star for, I guess, the remainder of 21. Is there any new partner alignment or innovation? Just end of the day, like how is the platform going to continue to offer value and assistance for Shopify brands who want to grow and scale?
Yeah, so I think that from a Shopify perspective, I mean, our MVP as it stands today that we are testing in early access with current customers between Shopify and Braze is that's really solving the data in piece. Marketers or anyone who has Braze and Shopify, with a few clicks of a button, can actually get a lot of their rich purchase data or checkout abandonment data directly into Braze without any engineering work, which is great. And we'll also be expanding to Script Tag, which will also solve for the data in piece around getting more top of funnel purchase events into Braze so that marketers can action upon. And then in terms of the future, I mean, it's really around making it dead bang easy to try to get Shopify customers to utilize some of these channels that we've been talking about, like web push or in-browser messages. So we're kind of developing a way to make it dead bang easy to integrate any of the other softwares from Braze, like the Braze SDK. And then also, I mean, we're just listening to our customers and trying to get a sense of like what's most important to them. Is it loyalty? Is it additional Shopify expansions? So more exciting updates to come on the Shopify realm, especially as we get more feedback from our initial set of customers. And I think that just Braze at large, we are just growing so rapidly out in the space. I mean, I think that I've been here for about 3.5 years, employee 200, and I just surpassed double that in the current year. But I think that just at large with our product, though, we'll continue to support more companies undergoing this digital transformation that was triggered by the pandemic. And so my product colleagues and I are just really focused around building features that help brands build brilliant experiences with their consumers, whether that's new channels, additional enhancements to kind of our segmentation strategies, etc.
This is lovely. So how can people learn more about the Braze solution? Where can they go?
Yeah, so you can visit our site at braze.com, B-R-A-Z as in zebra, E.com. You can also hit us up on social. We are on Instagram. You can just do at Braze. And then we also have a ton of content within our blog, really educational around a lot of these cross-channel engagement strategies that we've been talking about today. So you can go to braze.com/resources and then search for any of the blog content there.
Yeah, it's lovely. I'm going to get the RSS feed from Braze. I don't think I'm syndicating the content yet. I have about 60 or 70 so partners kind of in the commerce world, you know, in the Shopify ecosystem mostly, subject matter experts also, and I'm syndicating, you know, with attribution back to the source author, but it's a nice way of casting a wider net, and I know you have some great content here, so I'll be chatting with you offline about getting the RSS feed, and let's get some of the content onto e-commerce Fastlane just for those that just want to explore what you have available. There's lots of great guides and videos and webinars and events. I'm looking right now. There's lots here. So lots of great, you know, life of learning, I think, is my mantra. And I think those listening today also have a similar mindset. So this is great. Well, thanks, Diana. I really, really appreciate you coming on the show today. And you know this, but Shopify has a mission, and it really is to make commerce better for everyone. And it's very clear that the Braze team, the platform you're building, you know, you really are in tight alignment with wanting to help Shopify brands. And I just really appreciate that. Thanks for sharing your knowledge and just vision and just kind of giving back to those marketers that really do want to help grow and scale the businesses that they manage. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
Today's episode was made possible by Mesa, the easiest way to integrate any Shopify app with your online store. Now, Mesa allows you to create workflows that automatically carry out repetitive tasks and free up valuable time to focus on growing and scaling your business operations. You can set up email notifications, schedule tasks, delay workflows, all with the simplicity of Mesa's built-in features. Now, Mesa has a free and growing library of templates that will get you set up quickly with the most popular tasks for any growing business on Shopify. Now, you can try Mesa today for free, absolutely no cost. They have a 14-day free trial, so go check them out at getmesa.com. That's GETMESA.com. And their team of experts will support you on your journey of Shopify automation and improving efficiencies. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of e-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.